I'm Bruce Kennedy, and I'm running for Secretary of State as an independent because I feel very strongly that the person in charge of elections should not be tied to a political party. The umpire should not be on one of the teams. Now, many people assume that because I'm not in a major party, that I'm unqualified. Actually, the opposite is true. I'm the most qualified candidate in the field. I've been an attorney for 28 years, and I'm ranked in the top 5% of lawyers according to Minneapolis St. Paul magazine. As a leader in the Bar Association, I've helped originate or improve dozens of laws, laws that eliminated unnecessary processes, got rid of legal mumbo-jumbo, and helped both citizens and lawyers do things easier. For the last 6 years, I've campaigned to make our elections better, and I've spent a lot of time at the Capitol. And in the process, I've learned a lot about voting equipment, about elections, and about the Secretary of State's office. And I feel very strongly we should make a change in the Secretary of State's office. Now, some people may think I'm unqualified. I would like you to take a look. Compare me to the other candidates. I welcome that comparison. On the issue of voter turnout, Mary Kiffmeyer has been claiming that Minnesota turnout was plummeting before she took office. In 1996, we were number one in the nation. In 1998, the year she was elected, before she took office, we were number one in the nation. You cannot plummet to number one. Now, my belief is the way to increase turnout is to have competitive, important elections, and I'll talk more later about how we can do that. Same-day registration. A book by John Fund, a writer for the Wall Street Journal, a conservative writer, quoted Mary Kiffmeyer as disparaging same-day registration. So maybe she should answer specifically about those quotes. The same-day registration issue is dead in Minnesota. It's been decided. We're going to keep same-day registration. We keep talking about yesterday, and we should be talking about tomorrow. We don't know what system we're going to be using for voter registration in the future. None of us do, because it's going to involve technology that hasn't been fully realized yet. I'm the candidate who will solve old problems using new technology. One of the questions we get asked about a lot in these debates is picture ID. Now, in Minnesota, the issue is dead. Unless the Republicans take both houses of the Minnesota legislature, it's not going to happen. So it's just a point of interest. Many of the questions that were asked in these debates are not within the power of the Secretary of State. We'd be considered experts and we can go testify on these issues, but the legislature ultimately determines them. Now, in the case of picture ID, we don't know exactly how many people don't have picture IDs. We could set it up where we ask them and find out. We're unsure how many cases of fraud are really out there. We would need to do a cost-benefit analysis to see if it's worth it for the taxpayer to spend our valuable tax dollars to try to solve a problem that may not even be that significant. But I take it seriously. I take it seriously when people say the voting machines can be tampered with, and I take it seriously when people say there could be voter fraud. So I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to consider it. And I think technology will lead us to a solution in the future. But right now it's an issue that needs to be studied, and it's not going to be passed in its current form. Question 3, illegal immigrants voting. Recently, the Pawlenty administration did a cross-check between a database of immigrants and voter registration. It found that 32 people who were not citizens registered and 11 of them voted. And then these cases were turned over to the county attorneys for prosecution. I would like to follow up on those and see if those were actually cases of people improperly voting. And if so, those people should be convicted and they should be severely punished for that. Now, illegal immigrants voting, people who have no ID, legitimate ID at all, I guess it would be a surprise to me that they would risk deportation by going to the trouble to register to vote and to vote. But if we have evidence of that happening, we need to look at it and determine What's the scope of the problem? And again, that should be dealt with severely. Why is this a partisan job? It shouldn't be. Now, I know the Secretary of State is created by the Constitution, but the duties of the elections are not. Those could be taken by the legislature and assigned to somebody nonpartisan. And it shouldn't be an appointment by the governor. It should be somebody assigned by a committee. Now, I know the devil's in the details there, but it can be done. You can create a neutral nonpartisan committee that would appoint somebody fair. Now, Mary Kiffmeyer says she's nonpartisan, but she fired her deputy, Republican Scott Simmons, after he invited DFL legislators to come to an exhibition of voting equipment. And she worked Republicans behind closed doors to defeat my initiative to bring instant runoff voting to Roseville for one election. And she wouldn't admit publicly to be opposed to it. She just worked them behind closed doors. That's the definition of partisanship. Mark, you say that Arlen Erdahl was an excellent Secretary of State, but he was defeated in a partisan election by Joan Grow in 1974, and I wasn't here at the time, but I believe she probably said something bad about it. And Joel, you say because you're in the Independence Party, you're the one to be nonpartisan, but you're stumping for Peter Hutchinson and his agenda on transportation and energy and healthcare and so forth. You've already created a conflict of interest with him. I'm the only candidate who is not tied to a political party. And I'm one who's proven to be a neutral. People pay me to help them decide disputes in a neutral way. The question is about the impact of exit polls on elections and media access to the polls. We haven't had these questions come up in debates before. They're very interesting. Again, issues the Secretary of State doesn't really decide. I have mixed feelings about the exit polls. We have a First Amendment, and the press should be out there working. But it is kind of distressing that results are coming out before some people have even voted. On the media access, I think the media should have access. I was glad that I had access when I went to California in November to observe their election. And I was helped by the election officials of San Francisco to learn about their process. And I was able to go in the precincts and actually observe people voting. I wouldn't have been able to do that in Minnesota. On the other hand, you don't want too many people in there because it becomes intimidating for voters or just plain crowded in there. So that's a balancing. Now, Mary Kiffmeyer raised the point that the website right now is really great. And I think she's, once again, taking more credit than she deserves. She took office in 1999, which is the year that almost every organization in this country updated their computer equipment because of the pending Y2K. And we shouldn't be taking credit when the credit should go to Cisco, Intel, Seagate, Microsoft, all these companies that have made equipment that's much, much better. The fact is, it's relatively easy to put up a good website nowadays. You can do things now that were completely impossible to do in 1998 or would have cost vastly much money, much more money than was budgeted to the Secretary of State's office. So once again, Mary Kiffmeyer is taking credit where credit is not really due. The issue is the state of Minnesota voting equipment. And this is an important question because the Secretary of State does have a lot of influence over this. In Minnesota, most of the polling places will have two pieces of voting equipment. And most voters will go in and get a ballot card and fill in the circles and then go over and scan it into an optical scan machine. Now we also have a machine called the AutoMark for blind and disabled people so that they also can print out a similar ballot. These machines are good. The equipment is sound and you should have confidence in it. Main problem is that the AutoMark was quite expensive. And the reason why is because there were no options to choose from. The federal government told us we had to have equipment for blind and disabled people. This year was the deadline, and there was only one machine to choose from. Now, Mary Kiffmeyer holds a lot of responsibility for this because she lobbied for this law in the first place, and she put us in a position where we only had one device that we could buy. So the taxpayers took it on the chin. But the equipment works, and we're going to have it for a long time, so we might as well accept that. How about the future? Why don't we visualize a future where we are not stuck with the dysfunctional voting equipment market, which isn't really a free market? And let's look at voting equipment with open source software that everybody owns and everybody can improve, and off-the-shelf equipment that isn't elaborate, of a specific design that can only be replaced by the company that built it. Let's have a flexible modular system that we can upgrade from time to time without spending a lot of money. That is the future of voting equipment, and I will guide us on a path so we can get there. Now, there's one other key issue with voting equipment, and that's ranked voting capability. Many cities are expressing interest now in using ranked voting instead of having a primary. And that way you can get a majority winner and eliminate the cost of a low turnout primary. Minneapolis is very interested in doing this. The impediment is that the voting equipment cannot measure rankings at this time. And we have Mary Kiffmeyer to blame for that, because she fought me when I was trying to insert a provision in the law that would require new voting equipment to have this capability. And voting equipment, just like computers, is easy to add a feature when you're buying it, inexpensive, and costly when you try to upgrade the machine later. And so we're put in a position where it's going to cost more than it should have to upgrade our voting equipment to have this capability. I have been studying this issue in depth. I'm immersed in this issue, and I will put us in a good negotiating position so that we can upgrade our voting equipment to measure rankings, and then in the long run, this will save Minnesotans millions of dollars and could possibly be applied in the future to elections for governor and so forth, so that the winners have a majority of votes and simply don't win with a fraction. The next question is about the State Board of Investment, and we had Mark Ritchie raising the issue of United Healthcare and Mary Kiffmeyer dodging that question. She was talking about how the investments should not be politicized, something that I agree with. But the question was about United Healthcare, and it's not a political question. The question is whether we should request a change of management because of the huge number of stock options that were given to the leadership there. And this came to a vote in April of 2006, and her fellow Republican, Pat Anderson, voted against the management because they were giving themselves all these large stock options. And Mary Kiffmeyer voted to support the management. Well, it's just been revealed that many of these stock options were backdated to such a degree that it was a windfall for the CEO and other people in this company. So I think Mary Kiffmeyer should just answer the question. Why did she vote in favor of the management when Pat Anderson, her fellow Republican, voted no on that issue? My personal feeling about the State Board of Investment, I believe in conservative investing, diverse investments, non-political investments, buy and hold, don't trade a lot because that adds to the cost, and invest in companies that keep the cost of transactions down. The next question is about lowering fees at the Secretary of State's office. I am currently the chair of a task force with the Bar Association that is looking at court fees. And we have on our task force some legislators, and we had speakers. For example, the Commissioner of Revenue came and spoke to us about the difference between a fee and a tax. It's an issue that I care very much about because I feel that fees should be fair and they should reflect the value of the service. They should not be a method to collect taxes from the businesses and nonprofits that pay these fees. So I'm very keen on this issue. I believe very strongly that the Secretary of State Office fees should be looked at and reevaluated. And from working on this task force, I've learned how to look at this issue from a competitive standpoint, competing with other states, from the point of view of the value of the service that is being provided, and to ensure that the money coming into the Secretary of State's office is approximately the same as the budget of the Secretary of State's office. Right now, the office brings in a lot more money than it spends. And so maybe those fees should be reduced so businesses and nonprofits will be able to invest that extra money in some other way to improve their own profitability or enhance their employees. So, yes, I'm very keen on this issue, and I'm the kind of person who can go to the legislature and persuade them to make that change, even though this money doesn't go to the Secretary of State's office. It bypasses it and goes on to the general fund, which means that if money is gone from the general fund, the legislators are going to be needing to replace that somehow. They're not really going to be that thrilled about reducing these fees. But if it's presented to them in a way that's persuasive, maybe that's what they'll do, and I will try to do that.